Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
Babe, I fucking hate when you do that.
I had to do it to you because you feel a little like cranky and irritable right now.
I'm tired.
As we're about to start the podcast.
I'm tired. You know, I've been flying back and forth just trying to see my family. You know what I mean? Just, you know, this is what I do. Just a hustler.
No, I know. But I think you feel like cranky.
I'm not cranky. I think I'm just tired. And I guess sitting in the COVID line today was not fun.
That set you off.
Yeah, but I blame you a little bit.
Hold on.
Just a little bit.
For what?
Because you didn't check your email to see that it had changed. You know what I mean? Because if you had, then we would have been able to re-register the kids, and it would have been like,
okay, right,
boom,
but
boom,
here's what
like
I'm
to set
say.
It up.
So on
a
early,
I was sitting
on a
morning
under, where our kids have
park.
No school, so we all get to sleep in. I'm supposed to like check my email and be like, hope they didn't close down the testing site that we've been going to now for like a few weeks, that there's no issue. And the title of the email said, thank you for choosing your testing site. So I didn't open that up because like it's going to be one of those random things. Let me just clarify, because this is probably so annoying and confusing to listeners, and why do they care? But our kids have to get tested weekly with a PCR test. We, of course, forgot last week, so now we're on a weird schedule. The school offers it on the weekends, but we missed it, blah, blah, blah. There was a place right down the street.
Right, right, right.
So I set it up, made the appointment yesterday. It is a pain in the ass. You have to put in your insurance. You have to do each kid separately, all that stuff. Picked a 10:45 a.m. for today. We have no school to, you know, Jewish holiday today. Everyone's home.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, great. Roll up there. I got all the confirmations. I got the barcodes. Everything came
right,
in
no,
yesterday.
I know,
everything's
I know.
Great.
And then it was not.
And then you arrive at 10:45
well, I
on
get
time.
There early. I get there at 10:40. And then it turns out they're not even opening till 11.
Right. So you were like, what's up? And so I started sending you all my stuff that I already had.
And then I was in the underground parking lot, so I had no service. So I had to like run outside. You know, it was just one of those mornings.
I get it. But wait, we're going back to like you said, it was like partly my fault.
Well, not, I mean, you know.
Are you going to tell me that like.
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying like if you had checked your email alerting you that there had been a time change and that you had to reschedule your appointment.
I wish there was a way to post it because this is what it says. I get 100 things from this.
Okay. The difference between you and I in the email department is how just live on air, read how many, what does it say on your email thing? I'll read it. 4,024. You know what mine says? Donut. Zero. I clear my emails. I can't stand having a folder, an email folder that says 4,024.
So I have 63 texts.
63 texts. Yeah. Unread.
Unread.
And 4,024 emails. I'm sure many can relate because I'm sure most people actually have what you have.
No, I think a lot of people don't.
I have to clear my shit.
So many people that I talk to like look at that and they're like, oh my God, that gives me anxiety. How do you have that many on there?
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm saying. And then you have your EBOH email.
But that is separate. That is for like shopping and stores
I know,
and bullshit.
But
this is personal.
65,000 in that one.
Oh no, there's like 300,000.
300,000 in that email address. Yeah. That's crazy. So what I'm saying is, you know, it can get lost very easily in your email world.
Right. But this was like, you know, I just did it yesterday. I'm getting confirmation emails last night that everything's all set. They decide to change their hours starting September 16th. That's not on us.
No, I know.
They confirmed it. So it's not my fault.
It's not my fault.
It's not my fault. You want to blame me really badly.
This is part
of anything that goes wrong.
100%. Like I will admit to that. Like,
but don't you think we should figure that out?
Even when I know it's not your fault, I feel like I want to blame someone, you know.
But why me? I'm like the nice like helper in the family. You shouldn't be blaming me.
No, I know, but sometimes I just feel like I want to blame somebody because I'm frustrated. And you're, I guess, just sort of an easy target.
I think you're just angry of all the protocols and that we have to do that. And like you're one day home and off. You had to go do it.
I offered to go do it.
I know.
I did.
I know. It's a pain in the ass. Okay. So that was good. It's good off to a good start. Well, I was just going to say, too, that I read some of the emails and, you know, that kind of stuff from the listeners. And it's just been so awesome. Like, I love hearing and, you know, thinking what everybody thinks. Because, of course, you know, it's fun to kind of get that feedback. But there's a lot of people talking about kind of our questioning us stuff about parenting and our kids and all that. Because I think it's such a... You know, there's such a wide range of stuff to discuss.
Yeah, no.
You can't have like one episode just on parenting.
No, my God. There's whole different avenues of parenting, different offshoots of parenting, and, you know, how you as parents sort of bring your own ideas into what it is to raise great children, and then you have to mesh those.
Right,
or at least respect the boundaries. Well, not the boundaries, but respect your way and you respect my way, which sometimes we get into those arguments where it's like, you need to respect me and you need to respect the way that I feel about this situation that they're, you know, out in the neighborhood and they're in, you know, unsupervised or whatever, where I am more lenient and you are not. And I'm like, whatever. And you're like, you need to respect that I care about that.
Helmets, mainly. That's what that comes down to. But yeah, I mean, look, there's a fine balance. I think you have, you know, the way we were raised was very different, but there's neither one of us is stuck usually in our ways and so stubborn and wants to win just to win the fight. I think you have to kind of have this, you know, open mind to say, okay, let's break down like why you want to, you know, establish this rule or why you want to make this parenting choice. Mm-hmm. And usually, you know, we break that down and we make the best decision. There are, of course, you got to pick and choose your battles. I mean, there are some that I just kind of let go, and there's others, you know, I'm pretty into like manners and, you know, politeness and respect for adults. And, you know, there's a lot of those type of things that I'd rather have, like, the character of my kid, mm-hmm. you know, than, like, straight A's mm-hmm. or, yeah. you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably that's a universal parenting,
yeah.
you know, dream is to have your kids be polite and respectful and to look people in the eyes and, you know, not be dicks. You know, totally. I mean, I think that's universal. Now, how you get to that, there's different ways based on the kids. And the other thing too is, you know, it's also meshing with your with parents. It's also meshing with the way that other parents do things that are friends with your kids. And, mm-hmm. you know, especially as they're getting older, you're like, all right, well, you allow your kids to do this, but we don't. Or we allow our kids to do this and they don't.
Oh, totally. So, well, going back to like when they were really young, I mean, now we have like, you know, 8 to 14. So we're in that little like yeah. pocket, right? Yeah. So we're out of the, hallelujah, even though it's heartbreaking, but we're out of the, you know, baby, toddler, little kids yeah. phase, right? Like meaning that is an entire chapter yeah. of parenthood, right? Like 10 and under, whatever you want to say. Car seats, strollers, naps, discipline, oh, you know, all of that
God
stuff.
That is fucking over.
It is.
So
I mean, thank God, because
that.
That's a tough one to navigate. And I feel like that causes so much stress on couples and relationships because you're exhausted, just literally naturally exhausted. Your patience are thin. You're trying to do your best. Like, you know, it's that song, I mean, that saying of like, you know, you each, that we always say, but you each want to be appreciated and you want to feel valued. And so many other layers get involved when you're dealing with little kids that have to do with you. You know what I mean?
Appreciated by your person?
Yeah.
Not by your kids.
No, not by your kids. Right. Sorry. I'm saying as the parents, like, you know, it's you making it just about the kids is hard sometimes because a lot of times your feelings kind of get in the way or the relationship can get in the way. But
well, it's also when you have so much to manage. I mean, just from a practical standpoint with fucking strollers and diaper bags and pacifiers and blankies and Desitin and, you know, whatever it is, a big stroller, then maybe a little stroller if you want a little, like, sort of offshoot.
Car seats, passies, books, like all your... And then, I know, it gets me anxiety.
I know, but then we look back on videos and we're, like, weeping.
You don't remember any of that. It's just so cute. And it's, like, heartbreaking. It does go fast. It's like, you know, kids that are going through sleep training, like, you know, Joe and Michelle right now, right? Mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm. you know... teething or all of those things that feel like they are never going
to
end.
I'm so happy. Because I just did a podcast with Joe yesterday, Daddy Issues, and we were talking about that because he's got his three-year-olds, his twins with Michelle, and they're sleep training now, and it's just a nightmare. You know, they've got this thing called like a monkey lock where it's like the you can sort of peek in, you know, but the kid cannot get out, and, you know, you got to let him cry it out, which I do believe in, you know, and they're just... It's just a fucking nightmare.
It's a lot. I think also what's happening too and is now the pendulum has kind of swung so far, you know, in a good way, but there's so much information out there now for parents.
Yeah.
Whereas our parents' generation, you know, it's so different from what it is yeah. now. And there's so many more opinions on what, you know, how to do it and everybody's navigating and kind of doing it at their own speed. And I think like every family should, whatever's right for them, you know, whether they 100%. Sleep train or not sleep train.
There is no one way.
There's
no one way to do it. And I never personally even thought about reading a book or even asking a question, honestly, of how to do things. I was operating and still operate on pure instinct, intuition on who I am with my kids, how I feel like they need to be raised.
Right,
you
but
know,
I'm just saying for a lot of like first-time parents that
well, for sure,
don't just, have that, you know, say...
Well, I'm just talking about me.
Instinct you know, or confidence, yeah.
You know, that's just me. And we do it differently. I mean, I say that of all of our friends, we definitely do it the most different. Wouldn't you?
From our small friend group here, yes.
Yeah.
But I think... But then you step outside of our bubble and there's a lot of people that do it similar.
I guess,
my
yeah.
friends
no,
from
I mean,
home
I'm just
and,
saying
you know,
from
it's
what
like,
I... Of course, but from what I yeah. know...
Well, I think the difference is now it's like when they were little, we grew up in a time like with Wilder, which was 2007. So it was right around, you know, no, there were barely any iPads. I mean, I don't even think they really existed. I mean, they did. There was like Leapfrog and like weird little things.
Yeah.
So screen time wasn't a thing. It was TV. So were kids watching too much TV? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, and then not only were they watching TV, what were they watching? And we watched The Devil, which was SpongeBob.
What's The Devil?
Greatest show of all time.
Oh, SpongeBob. I'm saying. I mean, like, SpongeBob's amazing.
But our kids loved it, and everybody was like, "Bodie's seen every episode.
Bodie's obsessed with SpongeBob."
Right, but I'm just saying. Yeah. So, like, times change now. Of course, it's screen time and it's social media and all of these things. You know, kind of you have to adapt and you know get used to them. But we were not, you know, super strict in that way.
Not at all. We weren't at all. I mean, look, we talk about it all the time. It's like everything in balance. You know, there's moderation to everything. I think if you hold a kid back or, you know, you restrict them from something like candy or whatever it is, or TV.
Screen time.
And it's, you just cut that shit off and it's like, no. And this is my opinion. You know, I mean, everyone does it differently. And again, I respect how everyone does it. My opinion. I think that you just, it's like a drug addict. You're like, oh my God, give it to me. What is it? And then you get a taste of it. And you're like, oh my God, it's fucking amazing. And now it's all you think about and that's all you want.
Totally.
Rather than, you know, moderation. Yeah, watch some TV. Go outside and play. Yeah, have some candy.
Right.
Yeah, eat some greens.
But just to play devil's advocate, I agree. And those were our children. You have to kind of know who your kid is because certain kids, I think, react differently to certain stimulations.
That's the intuitive part. Right. That's where you have to obviously know your children.
This isn't good for you. I'm taking it away.
Saqqara. We love Saqqara. We love this food program. You know, if you're looking to change your diet, it's not about like restricting what you eat. It's about the kinds of foods that you eat.
It's time to seek pleasure in all areas of your life, including what you eat. You got to stay healthy. All right. But you also want to enjoy your meals. With Saqqara, you get nutritious dishes that nourish your body without ever sacrificing taste. They're designed to boost your energy, improve your digestion, get your skin glowing. They've got incredible menus, very creative, chef-crafted, ready to eat. Breakfasts, lunch, dinners. It changes weekly, so you're never going to get bored. And it's delivered fresh to your door anywhere in the U.S. Saqqara has received rave reviews from Vogue, Goop, The New York Times, and more. And right now, Saqqara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to saqqara.com/sibling or enter sibling at checkout. That's Saqqara, SAQARA.com/sibling to get 20% off your first order, saqqara.com/sibling. Yeah. Helix. The Helix mattress, one of the greats, one of the bests, one of the all-timers. I have them in my house.
You go online, you take their sleep quiz, and it's just a couple steps, and it kind of guides you for the perfect mattress that you and your partner need. And ours got us to the Helix Midnight Lux. I love it. This was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 and 2020. By GQ and Wired Magazine.
I have had this mattress for over a year now. I miss it every day. I'm working in Albuquerque right now. I'm staying in a hotel. So when I get to be home, of course my wife, of course my kids, number one, number two. Number three is plopping down on my Helix and feeling that comfort. So just go to helixsleep.com/sibling. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they will match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. So Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/sibling. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/sibling for up to $200 off.
What do I do? What's something that I do that you disagree with, but you love me and you know it's probably, you know, the kid, that's not detrimental to the kids, but you're like, if I could change that.
Probably.
Like I let them do things.
Yeah, probably more like skateboarding without a helmet. It's pretty much a big one for me right now. But look, they ride motorcycles. They do all the things that as a parent with my anxiety and just like fear of somebody getting hurt, I would literally keep them in a bubble. I make that joke about like, don't play sports, don't do anything, just be in the band. Like, I'm joking, but like, that's how I feel. Would that make me feel like comfortable and at ease? Yes.
Would you be excited if our kids were like band kids?
100%. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It would be great.
But it depends what instrument they played. You know, what if like Wilder like played the flute?
Great. I like, you know what I mean? Like, are you saying like be cool and like do the drums or guitar?
I guess you could be a cool flautist.
Yes, absolutely. And I would love him for like wanting to do something that he loved, but you know what I mean? Like, of course, do I want them to be kids and go out? But I think back and I was a pretty good kid, right? Like just compared to like what most stories are, I seemed like kind of a rule follower and I didn't want to disappoint my parents and I didn't like risk. I didn't like getting in trouble. Yeah, no. And I still did some crazy, crazy shit. No, but thinking now as an adult, you think back like, oh my God, I was that age and doing that. It makes you scared because these are our little baby humans that we made that we want to protect. And we're also used to protecting them and like keeping them alive and keeping them safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So now it's like this, we're all over the place with this conversation. But my point is like, you know, what happens when they're little, you got to kind of like navigate and figure out who your kid is, right? So like some kids are not good with, you know, sugar and candy. So of course the parents are going to say, I know how this goes, not going to work. Our kids weren't really that affected by sugar. They weren't complete spazzes. Yes, of course, if they had sugar, were they a little more hyper, but they weren't like out of control. They didn't have meltdowns.
Yeah, no.
So you got to know who your kid is.
Right. But we, you know, we let them watch. We've been letting them watch, you know, inappropriate movies.
Oh yeah, that's something I would say. That's something I would say.
Rated R movies since they were kids. And then the problem is that when you have your number one, which is Wilder, you know, who's in the other room right there, making a bagel, that kid consumes more bread than
me.
No, you're number one.
he's a close second.
He's number two. But you know, you have your first one and then you regulate, you moderate. Okay, then you have your second one. Now the second one wants to hang with the first one. So they start a little bit earlier because they're both watching TV and Wilder might be watching something that may be a little too advanced for Bodhi. But like, oh, fuck it. What are we going to do? Get like 8 TVs? Okay. Then Rio comes along and now Wilder is 6 years older than her and he's watching things that are far inappropriate for her. They're actually inappropriate for him, but I am of the ilk of sort of let them see it. I mean, it's what's going to happen to them. It's not going to rot and destroy their brains. I am here to be the buffer for that. Okay. I am their parent.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Can I jump in for
Hold on, I'm not done. Okay. And then Rio, you know, is then watching the things that Wilder is watching, including Scream Queens, which is a television show that I did, that Ryan Murphy did, you know, for Fox. It was like, you know, there's no world where, how old was she then?
I'm not saying.
There's no world where she should be watching that, but she did. All right, well, Aaron walked away. Wilder walked away. She's finding him syrup. You know, she's wanted to interject into the way that I do things. She's, what you're not seeing is that she's giving me the cutthroat sign like every 30 seconds or so. She's like looking at me with her eyes like giving me like the cut off sign on her throat. Cause I'm like apparently saying
I'm back.
Things. Hey.
What are you saying?
Nothing. Okay. So you were interjecting and you know.
Were you finished with Rio and the watching and all that?
Basically, I mean, my point is that, you know, yeah, it trickles down.
So what I think is, I would say the movie thing on what's appropriate because they watch all these scary movies. I'm not into that. I don't actually mind like funny, dirty adult humor that's inappropriate. I don't even mind nudity or sex. Like that's natural stuff.
Sorry to interrupt, but see, that's where I almost differ from you. Like I remember, again, Rio's like, I don't know how old she is, but this was years ago. And remember, I'm like, she's watching Baywatch. Remember that? Like the new Baywatch with The Rock?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
yeah, for those of you, just go watch Baywatch, and you know. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'd rather her watch Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th. No. Then Baywatch.
No way. I'd love to see like a listener thing on this.
Okay,
murder,
let's take a
blood,
poll.
Horror.
Rated
I'm still scared
R
to
sex beach comedy. Okay.
Beach comedy. So it's not going to be like crazy sex. It's not like.
It's like, you know, it's sex humor and there's titties and, you know, whatever. I'm saying. You know what I mean?
I know, but like boobs are natural. They're a real thing. We all have them.
You let her watch Baywatch.
I know, but babe. Like the scary movies, like she's gonna either be scared.
This
you know,
is
it's,
you're projecting and
well,
tell
I'm just
the
going
audience
by,
why.
I'm
what
going
movie
by my
did you see that made you terrified forever and ever and ever?
Poltergeist.
Right. And
Kristen Garvey. And Nightmare on Elm Street,
no.
Friday the 13th?
No.
Poltergeist.
Yeah, Poltergeist, that was one, but no, one that led to this day is the reason why you don't go in the ocean.
Oh, Jaws. Yeah, of course. I was thinking horror movies.
I know, but you always say that. You're like, I saw Jaws and that was it. Like, that was it for me. I don't go in the ocean. Da, 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 da.
Meanwhile, Rio watches the Blake Lively like shark movie like all the time. The Surfer, like where she's like.
Yeah, and she's swimming in the ocean just fine. My point is that maybe you're projecting your own fears onto the kids. You know,
I'm
just because they watch Human Centipede
I'm trying
doesn't
not
mean
to.
They're
I got a spider.
Sew each other's buttholes together.
We took a tarantula in and made it a pet. So, like, I don't want them to have my fears is the point. And I feel like I was scarred by watching some scary movies as a kid. And so, in my mind, I'm like, why are they watching this? And it's also, like, gory and bloody, like, all that
I know.
Stuff.
Look, I get it. I understand why people don't let their kids watch inappropriate movies. I understand. But I will challenge that and ask why. What's going to happen? You know what I mean? And again, it's about being intuitive about your children. Like if you felt that you had a kid who's going to watch a movie and mimic something in it.
Exactly.
And then it's going to be detrimental to him or his friends or the way that he thinks, feels, and acts. Okay. But if you are intuitive about your kid and you look at them and you know, oh yeah, they can watch this shit. And they're totally fine. They're still sweet. They're still polite. They're still loving. They still look you in the eye. You know what I mean? They're not assholes. They're not murderers. You know what I mean? Like, why can't they watch these movies? Cursing is everywhere. Everyone curses. Like, so they hear bad words. The sexual stuff for me is the place where I sort of draw the line. You know, that's where I really draw the line. That's where I get uncomfortable.
But then, okay, just not being the naive parent, it's like, that's a movie that they're watching on TV that's, you know, whatever. I mean, porn is at the click. Everything is at the click of whatever on their own, you know, handheld
well,
devices.
Well, now we're getting
things,
into an entirely different world where,
you know
kids
what I mean?
Have access to
everything.
Pornography and phones.
Like, I remember as a kid, like, watching, like, certain movies that were, like, R-rated that we weren't allowed to see, like, Porky's and, like, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
my God. All Blame It on Rio. Remember
oh, my
that
God,
movie?
Yes.
Blame It on Rio with Michael Caine.
Demi Moore.
And Demi Moore. But then there was the girl who was, like, the hot one. I don't think it was Demi Moore who was like topless and stuff.
I think it was.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Anyway, that movie was a big one for me where it was, I was young and it was that first sort of moment of like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Porky's. But you know, when you're dealing with porn, that's an entirely different subject. You know, which is a whole different podcast, honestly, with, you know, that's another, when we talk about doing a parenting podcast, which I think we're going to probably launch at some point, just Aaron and I. Or is it Aaron and me? I'm getting all wrapped up in my head about Aaron and I and Aaron and me.
I know.
Aaron I think it's Aaron and I. I think that is Aaron and I. Anyway, that's another faction, another arm of parenting is sort of dealing with sex and sexuality today with our teenagers and sort of how different it was when we were kids until now and the access that they have and the sort of desensitization to sex or the idea that sex is porn and porn is sex and they're mutually exclusive and interchangeable and that's just not true. I mean, I even talked to the kids, you know, Wilder, who's 14 and, you know, he's going to watch porn, see porn, and I just have to make sure that he understands that this is not reality
when you pay money to go to a movie theater and you're watching an action film and you know those explosions are not real, they're real, but they're, you know, it's the same thing. This is not reality. These are actors who are performing, you know, because these kids are growing up on in a different sexual culture. It's crazy. Anyway, we don't have to get into all that, but I'm just saying that that is a great topic of discussion.
Just going back to like how we did it a little differently from a lot of people around us, you know, we were kind of the outsiders on a lot of the beliefs around that first, you know, go around, maybe just even Bodhi too a little bit.
Yeah, like Jesus. We didn't believe in Jesus.
Yeah. And it was a lot of like, you know, TV, sugar, staying up late. Like we're still kind of that family, yeah, right? For a lot of people around us. I mean, it even went down to we had some very extreme friends, you know, that there was no like plastic and mm-hmm. like, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, we'd go to their house and it was only like recycled wood toys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's amazing, but that was their lifestyle and yeah, what they were creating for the kids.
I have no judgment. It was just
incredibly,
like,
you know.
I could never, I don't know, do that. I don't know.
I know, but if that's their, you know, kind of lifestyle, it's an amazing choice to have and like, you know, beautiful for the kids. I think we were just like, you know.
Oh yeah, we had friends who'd never fed their kids sugar at all and they were like grinding veggies because that's all they knew.
Yeah, and they loved it,
of course. They were like 7 or whatever, like grinding just vegetables. I'm like, I was jealous. I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing, but I think you both have to be on board. It has to be part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, that is just not who we are. No. You grew up on sugar cereal and Coke.
Totally.
Cocaine.
Coca-Cola. But no, I know. I mean, look, I think, you know, there's a balance. I think we've struck a good balance, you know, because our kids are not like terrible. They do have a lot of fruit and veggies and they have their stuff and whatever. But now, you know, they're older. That stuff all happens. But yeah, when they were little, it was also kind of figuring out who each kid was because Wilder and Bodhi were very different. Like they were different newborns, different toddlers, you know, and we raised them a little different, meaning
sure.
Wilder, you know, I say this a lot, but he responded to a raised voice. So if he was kind of, you know, disobeying or not doing so, whatever, it's like if you raised your voice or I just got a sterner voice, he responded to that. Bodhi, on the other hand, our stubborn one, would challenge us and almost like raise his voice higher. And there's a lot of stuff where,
so stubborn,
you know, as the parents, you're always trying to navigate, like you're out in public. Do you, if you yell at your kid, then are you, you know, get in trouble for, you know, you're like abusive to your kid. But if you don't, you ignore it. Oh, that parent's just ignoring the kid. I mean, it's like, you can't win. There's so many different levels of like, you know, how to parent and judging and all that shit when I'm like, everybody's just doing the best job they can and you don't know what was going on.
Their story,
what was going on before, what was going on after.
Forget about that. You don't even know their backstory. You don't know how they were raised.
Of course.
You know, they might have been raised by an abusive father.
Yeah.
Right? And now they do not want to even come close to raising their voice at their kid because of fear that they're going to become that person.
Absolutely.
And so now they've just let their kids run wild.
Yeah.
But
like
how are we,
your dad,
how are we not compassionate for that
person? Of course. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't know.
No, for sure.
Investing your money can be really confusing. The thing that we love about public.com is that they make it very easy. So you go on public.com, you can invest with any amount of money, invest in $1,000 stocks, which is $1.
So you have the ability to buy slices of shares that offers more flexibility on what you can do and add to your portfolio. Because some of these stocks are expensive, but you know, this really allows you to dabble and to open up your imagination and to sort of invest in things that may be personal to you, that you don't have to take on a ton of risk, but you might have a feeling about, or it's a sector or a hobby or something that you are passionate about.
So when you invest with public.com, you're never investing alone. They make it very easy to collaborate, build your confidence as an investor. Public.com doesn't sell your trades to third parties. They do not participate in payment for order flow, an industry standard practice that creates a potential conflict of interest between the brokerage and the customer. So on public.com, you can choose from thousands of stocks and ETFs to grow your portfolio.
So use code SIBLING when you download the app to let public.com know that you're coming from Sibling Revelry, all right? do that, and you'll get up to $50 in free stock to get started in growing your portfolio. Valid for U.S. residents 18 and over, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures. Not investment advice. Squarespace is the place to put your face on a website that might make you dollars. It might make you holler. It might make you a scholar. It doesn't matter. As long as you stir that pancake batter and get on your website, don't want to hear no chatter. That's a freestyle about Squarespace and what we need to do to put everyone in its place.
Like everything else that we do today, there's always a way to figure out how to do it online. One of the things about building websites, they're very expensive. You go to people, and yes, they're very skilled at it. They're good at it. They can do it. But it is crazy expensive. What Squarespace has created is a place where you can go do it yourself. It's very cost effective, and they make it very easy. It's a very, very simple kind of templates that you can use. You can even get fancy on it and try to sort of create your own and do some more original things. But if you just want something to help you get there, this is the place. Anything that you need to grow a business online, they will provide for you.
It's a one-stop shop, basically. I mean, you want to create a website. You want a site that is going to be able to handle everything that you need to start a business. This is the place to go. They've got domains, they've got websites, online stores, marketing tools, analytics. They deal with e-commerce, everything that you need. So head to squarespace.com/sibling for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code sibling to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. My thing is, though, I think me more than you, I guess, but I never want to hide anything from my kids. Like, I'm not the parent who ever has.
Yeah.
Meaning, no, I'm talking about even when I'd smoke cigarettes or when I was drinking or when I was doing whatever. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to tiptoe around you. Like, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm an adult. And no, you cannot do that. I curse like a sailor, and no, you cannot do that, but I'm not going to stop cursing in front of you. This is me, you know? And I feel like that's worked out for us, or at least for my relationship with the kids.
Yeah, and you also got to like test things.
You build trust in a way.
And you also got to know who your kids are, because if you had acted that way and then all of a sudden we have a little kid that's mimicking you.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
You know, going up and doing, and you know, it's like, my mom was a smoker. I did not become a smoker. Like, you know, so it had that effect where it was like, oh my God, that's something I don't want to do.
Well, how about we curse in front of our kids like sailors
and they don't
curse.
Really curse.
Wilder's
yeah.
just starting to at 14, but all of his friends, I mean, geez, there's more curse words than non-curse words. It's crazy.
I know. And his kids, it's not that we're just thinking that. His friends do say that he doesn't curse.
Oh no. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think he's just starting to, and they're like, it's so cute.
Yeah, that's so funny. But I mean, you know, there's things too like that, right? Like, of course I'm not going to be like smoking a joint in front of my kids because it's not appropriate.
Right, but you have a cocktail in front of them.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Because it's legal. Well, now it's legal, but yeah, of course.
No, I know. There's still the stigma attached to that. But we smoke, you know,
Here's
Aaron and I
thing
smoke
that I
weed
would
at
say,
night. And no, we do not smoke in front of our children.
But at the same time, it's like, it's telling your children that, like, you know, our brains are developed, unfortunately. Like, you know what I mean? They're at a place where they're not.
Mm-hmm.
We're also experienced. We're also doing that at night when our work day is done and our parenting is done and you're asleep. And so, you know, there's a way to kind of say, like,
yeah,
this is how we got there and why we're doing something like that. You know,
did
we're
you
not
that article
13.
That woman wrote in, like, Cosmo or something about how she would get a little stoned, you know, before bedtime.
Okay.
And it made parenting and her relationship with her kids, especially at that witching hour, like so much better.
I didn't read it, but yeah.
It's great.
Course.
It was great because it was just out in the open. And, you know, there's still the stigma on weed. There's no difference right now from having a glass of wine or drinking, you know, having a tequila
But what I will say to that is,
like a little bit of a joint.
That's how weed affects you. So weed and marijuana does affect other people differently. So some mom that would be like, oh, I'm not going to smoke it because her experience with it isn't good, right? Well, like, I
mean, of course.
You know what I'm saying? So
I'm not talking about those who.
Well, you said there's no difference, but I'm like, but for other parents,
some people
there
are allergic to alcohol. Some people might have two drinks and lose their mind because they're having an allergy to alcohol. My point is that taking not the extremes of things. My point is like you smoke a little bit of a doobie before you know, get ready for bed and put your kids to bed and. You know,
older things, kids like us. Like
yeah,
older,
things
not
just
babies.
Sort of settle down. You're like, oh, I'm not so angry. I'm not like brush your teeth immediately. And it's like, oh,
your patience.
This is what this article was about.
Yeah, it helps your patience, and you just kind of are like, all right, I can get through this. Because I think as parents, there is a counting of the minutes and the hours and the day. You know, whether it's the stay-at-home mom that's like, oh my God, I'm so. Over this, or if it's like the parent that has worked all day and then come home and is dealing with, you know, nighttime routine and, you know, everybody just kind of wants a little break or, you know, relief from that. Mm-hmm. And then also there's a relief when your parent, I mean, not babies, because I know they're SIDS and all kind of crazy things, but like when your kids are finally asleep, they're safe, they're in your home. It's like, there is that little, you know, shoulder letdown time. Where it's like, okay, I don't have to be delegating, functioning, you know, cooking, cleaning, watching, you know, saving, you know, emotionally taking care of. It's like, oh my God, you just want to like lay in bed and shut down and veg out or, you know, do what prepping for the next day or work or whatever you have to do. So there is that little feeling of like, what is going to take the edge off a little bit? And, you know, of course, there are people with no vices, but... That's not us. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I'm all about whatever makes you a better parent. And I think at the end of the day, like our therapist was big on the pyramid, which was like, put yourself first.
Yeah.
And I mean, hands up, everybody. There is not a lot of people that put their self first because we are trained somehow like that it is selfish, you know, to not be putting like your kids first. And you know, the pyramid theory is if you put yourself first and you are taking care of you, everything else trickles down in a positive manner. So it should go, and not a lot of, some people will probably disagree, but it should go yourself and then your partner and then your children and then your career or whatever it is that you're doing. And I know that gets turned around and for a lot of people, it sounds kind of impossible, but like him, you know, talking about it and us working through our therapy sessions, it really does make a lot of sense because if you take the time for you, whatever that is, quiet time, a workout, meditation, time with your girls or your guys, a run, you know, whatever it is that you need, you are better at dealing with work, children, your partner. So it does make sense. It's hard to do. It's really, really hard to do. I got it on my third kid. You know what I mean? It really resonated with me in retrospect.
You also have to have a partner who understands that and will allow each other to take care of themselves.
Totally,
you know?
Totally. And I think that is part of it too, because if you have a relationship where you feel like you are in a team and you're not against each other, because I think unfortunately, parenthood starts to kind of become a battle of, you know, schedules and who did this and who did that and you do this and I do this. There's not a lot of like, enjoying the process or being a team in it together. There are moments, you know, even the best of us, it's still like, you know, it's hard. It's hard to navigate. But if you can put yourself first and then you two as the couple are solid, everything else falls into place, you know, with the kids and you're better for them. And then you're kind of like your best version. And that's not happening all the time. And I know this is, you know, it's just kind of a...
Well, it's a blueprint. I mean, it's a map. Nothing's perfect. That's not a perfectionist.
No,
doesn't
I'm not
exist,
saying that.
You know what I mean? Perfection doesn't exist, I don't think, anywhere in life.
Maybe J-Lo, but...
That's true. That is true. True.
But don't you notice, like, if you're happy in your best self, like, and you come back, whatever that little time is, if it's a fucking, you know, extra 20 minutes in a shower or, you know, 10 minutes in a shower, or if it's like a full, you know, trip away from your kids or your partner, like it does make you miss them. It makes you, you know, kind of reconnect with yourself in a way where you're like, okay, instead of that, go, 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 go. You just, it's like a thin rope that's just starting to kind of, you know, dwindle away and get thinner and thinner. And, you know,
we also have to take time in your relationship away from your kids. I think people get caught up in this idea that they have to be with their kids all the time, 24/7, you know. We have friends who were just away from their kids for the first time in however long, you know.
Yeah, or a lot of parents that don't want to do that. I get that and I respect it, and it maybe hasn't worked out. We are so fortunate, A, that we have family here. And we have an incredible nanny that is basically family.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So when you have littles, it's like a lot of that stuff goes into it. But
no, but it's also you and I have taken the time to be together and go away from our kids, you know, even if it's down the road for a night or just to reconnect and have that time away. Even as a staycation.
Well, exactly. Because you know, the minute you get away and you know your kids are somewhere safe, right? Whether it's with friends, family, you know, a close babysitter or nanny, whatever that is. Once you get away, again, it is that, oh my God, I'm not in, you know, it's almost like as a parent, you're constantly in this state of alert, you know. Even when they're at school, it's still like, am I going to get a call from school? Who's picking them up? What do they have to after school? Oh, I got to get the, you know, the groceries. Or, you know, if you're at work and you're dealing with all of this important shit at work and, you know, whatever's going on, you're still dealing with, you know, dropping them off, picking them up. Did your kid have an emotional day? What are they going through that you're still carrying? Like, I mean, it is so multi-layered and you could go on and on. But those moments away as a couple, or even I will say like as my, with my girlfriends or whatever that is, it's that moment of just feeling like, okay, I'm not like a mom for this moment, or I'm back being like, you know, the wife or the girlfriend where we can, you know, sit around and have a glass of wine and not worry or, you know, laugh about stuff that doesn't matter or talk about things going on in the world or what show we're watching or whatever. There's just those moments of kind of dipping back into that, that I think are like life-saving and a huge part of why, you know, everything kind of works so smoothly in our house. And also it gives your kids, like psychologically, Wilder went through major anxiety when he was about 7 years old, 7 or 8. And we had this great therapist tell us, you know, they need to know that they're okay without you. So when you do leave and you come back, you know, from dinner or work or, you know, a trip or whatever it might be, they see, okay, see, you were okay while I was gone and I'm coming back. And hey, mommy and daddy are, mommy's going to have a play date, quote unquote, or daddy's, you know, going to work, whatever that might be, they need to know. And then they have that space to kind of feel okay without you. Which is super important.
Yeah. Well, that's,
they build confidence. And
started that early. We would go away, you know.
Yeah. And you set the tone a little bit.
You set the tone. Yeah.
And then
they would cry, you know, sometimes, but it wasn't never crazy, crazy.
Well, Wilder.
Well, Wilder was.
Wilder
in first grade, you know, had a moment. You know, I think it had to do with me being away as well.
Oh, 100%.
I was in Nashville doing a
great
TV show.
Gave us the best advice ever because you got this TV show.
Well, because here's the thing. Just, you know, I was attaching my own emotions to his. So I knew he was not in his best place and it would make me crazy too. And then I would be leaving, you know, for Nashville and coming home. I was going back and forth a bunch and when I would leave, I would be like, oh my God, I'm going to miss you guys so much. And I was emotional.
But what was so interesting is this therapist told us, you know, the 7-year-old, 8-year-old brain, whatever it was, you know, how it works is he was looking at you and you were basically saying, I'm going to miss you. I hate being away from you. Mm-hmm. Basically, being away from you is a bad thing. So that's how the little brain was translating it. Whereas as an adult, if Oliver is saying to me, oh, I hate leaving and I'm going to miss you, I take that as a compliment. It's like, oh, he loves me. He doesn't like being away from us. We are able to break that down and kind of, you know, understand what it means. But his little brain, all they're getting is, oh no, daddy is upset. He doesn't like leaving. So leaving is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. He's away from me. And I just thought that was kind of a brilliant.
Oh yeah.
You know, we didn't see it that way. So the therapist said, cause he was really upset. Like he was having a hard time separating from us at school.
Yeah.
Didn't like us going out. You know, so it started to trickle down into other things,
and
not just you leaving.
Like
school was a big one.
Dropping off first grade, having to sit on the bench.
I had to sit outside of that
for like an
classroom every day. Like it was just a whole process, which I know a lot of kids go through it. A, they have anxiety. I mean, never mind now, like after being all that.
God. Yeah.
But
now
they,
it's crazy.
The doctor was saying, try the next time that he has to leave. Remember, you were telling him, and the doctor said, I don't care if you as the adult go in your car and cry. I don't care if you're lying to your kid. Just say, I'm excited to go to work. I'm going to take pictures and send you, you know, from the airplane. Mm-hmm. And I love you. And you're going to have the best time. And when I get back, we'll do this. Totally changed the dialogue. And it was unbelievable how quickly that affected him and made him be like, oh, okay, wait. You're okay. Like, so anyways, I thought that was kind of interesting, you know, way to look at it because they really do feed off of us. Sometimes some of the best, you know, parenting podcasts that I listen to, they, you know, talk about that. It's not the verbal, you know, it's the physical cues that are being given away. And I think that's amazing and you know, couldn't be more true. But like right now, I think of, we're not allowed in the school, right? So we have to drop off. Mm-hmm. Our third is like the most independent, you know, 8 going on 19. She's like, see you later.
I know. She's like, peace.
But I'm like, imagine having, you know, a kid that doesn't want to get out of the car or doesn't want to go. I have a close friend right now. I'm not going to name a name, but, you know, her son is going through that.
Yeah.
After being home, you know, through the whole pandemic at that age, they're never away.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're thrown back in, you know, skipped a whole grade, going back to the school with mask on. They're used to being with you. You know what I mean? It's traumatizing.
Yeah. I'm back in LA. I'm no longer in the Rockies. That doesn't mean I still don't tap the Rockies. Always tap in the Rockies, whether I am in Colorado or whether I am in Los Angeles. And I'm talking about Coors Light, my friends. These days, everything is go, 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 go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. You got work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, an expectation to be on 24/7. But sometimes you just need a moment to turn it off and hit reset. And that's when you reach for Coors Light. It is made to chill. There's only one beer that is literally made to chill, and that is Coors Light.
The mountains on the Coors Light, they're cold activated bottles, so the can actually turns blue when it's the temperature it's supposed to be.
You're always going to know when it's time to chill. I have a cooler on my porch. I have so much Coors Light in there, and it sits there. So I can go there, sit on the porch, open up my cooler, boom, crack one open. Watch the neighbors walk their dogs. Coors Light is the one that I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that is made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivery straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Hudson. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Excited to tell you guys about home economics.
So there's a lot going on, and you can be forgiven, maybe, if you miss some things. But if you miss the ABC hit comedy Home Economics, you done messed up, because this hilarious show is at 82% on Rotten Tomatoes, with critics saying that it hits all the right comedic notes.
It's about three siblings who each have wildly different financial situations.
And TV Guide says, American Vandal's Jimmy Tatro, Bluff City Law's Caitlin McGee and That 70s Show vet Topher Grace kill it as the siblings.
Plus, add in Carla Souza from How to Get Away with Murder and SNL's Sasheer Zamata to the cast, and this is a comedy you've got to check out.
All of season one is streaming on Hulu, and season two premieres Wednesday, September 22nd, after the Conners on ABC with Hall of Fame football legend Jerry Rice as guest star. Jerry guest starred on Rules of Engagement. I love that man. Definitely check it out and tell your siblings about it too. Watch it together and work through your own sibling rivalry issues with heartwarming comedy. This breakout hit show could be your breakthrough moment with finally understanding each other. Or just half an hour where you can laugh and not have to deal with your brother or sister's issue of the week or issues of the week. Nobody has time for that. Just laugh together. Watch Home Economics after the Conners Wednesday, September 22nd on ABC. Then hug it out or drive home with your significant other, venting about your siblings, whatever you want to do. Just be happy. Be happy. You at least got to watch some good TV and laugh a little bit watching Home Economics.
There's a lot of, I think, anxiety going on that they don't even know. Like, I mean, you know, even just COVID, you know, we've really tried to play that down with our kids. Not the severity, of course, and how, you know, this is a serious thing, but just the fear because they hear things that the news might be on or they catch wind of stuff. Like, I remember during that time when Wilder was, you know, kind of insecure. He got the flu. He got sick.
No, it was Ebola.
Ebola.
Yeah.
So this is way pre-COVID. He was little.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of him.
But it was on the news, and it was a moment of like, ooh, this Ebola thing is real. He got sick like a week later, just home from school one day, like a normal thing, and he was crying. And I was like, what's the matter, buddy? Like, you know, does your head hurt? And he's like, am I going to get Ebola and die? And he was spiraling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? And he goes, I heard you guys talking about Ebola.
Well, it was on the news so
And it was
much.
On the news at the time, So anyways, again, they soak everything up, you know, note to self, like we're casually talking about it. It happened to be on the news for a minute. Nope.
Yeah, that's brain, the other thing is those kids, they may make you think like they're not listening, but they're, you know, especially Wilder, like his ears.
Oh, he's got hawk eyes and like, I don't know what would be the ears animal, but like, owls,
rabbit,
maybe,
you know, because rabbits have those big ears.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
You know, I think we don't know what the repercussions of this is all going to be for these kids, you know? I mean, it's wild and scary and sad, but I think communication is so key and, you know, having them talk about their fears and listening, you know, it's another great thing. It's like as parents, and I do this even as an adult, so I got to really be careful of it. I just want to help or fix or have a solution. And I want to, you know, give the information, but sometimes it's about just listening, letting them talk through it and seeing if they can kind of get to it, you know, on their own and not solve it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also it was scared and it was fear. And I remember as a kid, I was so scared of dogs because we literally behind our house in the backyard, anybody from Twin Hills will remember there was a Cujo dog, which was really just a big,
Saint
Bernard. But it was like a little cut through that we would go through and he had this huge bark and he was so big and scary. Anyways, and then the Lannings, you know, Bill Lanning that you played golf with my dad's when they had a dog, like a German Shepherd or something once. Anyways, I was terrified. I climbed up the top of a jungle gym once in their backyard, like a, you know, swing set. The babysitter was like trying to get me down. I'm up on the top, like so scared. But the dog was nuts for me because he probably thought I was playing or who knows. But I just remember parents would say to me, oh, you don't have to be scared. Or don't be scared. And then psychologically, someone said, don't say that, you know, to a kid. Because in my mind, I'm like, I know I don't have to be, but I am. You know, it's not like a choice. Like, I'm actually scared. So there's ways to kind of, you know, verbalize things to kids where it's like, I know you're scared. And I get it. Or, you know, why are you scared? What are you afraid of? Or, you know what I mean? Those little...
Like Bodhi with spiders? He's literally arachnophobic.
I know.
It's like you.
I mean,
I wonder if that's like genetic or if learned.
No, it's probably learned, but like I've been pretty good with spiders. I mean, we brought and owned a tarantula for everybody out there that doesn't know.
I know,
that.
But you didn't have much of a choice in that matter. You know, Wilder caught that shit with his bare hands.
and we took it home in the car. I could have said no. I could have said absolutely not. Then I could have let it go when we got home. I could have killed it. I mean, I didn't. I cried when the thing died.
Harry,
the tarantula. Yeah, my own son captured a tarantula up in like Central Cal or wherever and brought it home and wanted to keep it as a pet. And I was like, I don't want them to have this, you know, crazy fear. And, oh, look at him. He's so cute. We have a snake. We have like a 12-foot snake sitting up in our house. We've had him for 10 years. Cheeto.
Cheeto's got to go.
You know? So I do go against some of the things that, you know, I don't want my kids to have.
Yeah.
It got me over my fear a little bit. I mean, look, at the end of the day, we do live in California. There are black widows. There's brown recluse. Like, that's scary to me, of course. And I don't like the idea that, like, if a spider, like, crawled under my bed and I couldn't kill it, I'm not going to sleep well that night. Sorry. I'm actually not even going to sleep in that room. But I will kill spiders now. I take them outside.
You're much better.
Well, don't you remember your first apartment at Camrose? There was, like, a gate, and around the gate was all these flowers and bushes. Yeah. So every night I would come over or whatever time, there was like these spider webs. Remember, and I used to always have you come down and clear the webs for me because I didn't want to walk through them.
That's when we first started dating.
But you would tell me, you were like, if I kill it, because I'd be like, just kill it. And you were like, but what if it's like a teenager or like a kid that's like just out living on his own for the first time and the parents come to visit and he's dead?
Yeah.
And I was like,
I'd like to create a whole personalized story.
Yeah. You're like, or what if like the kids are out and I kill the mom and the baby spiders come home?
Yeah. It's Mother's Day and like they're coming home with like a present for mom and now she's dead.
And I was like, kill it. No, just kidding.
You were.
No, I wasn't. I was kind of, I felt for it. And I think about that now.
Yeah. Remember when you called me to your apartment?
Oh my God. Yes.
You were Jackie, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Megan, maybe too.
Yeah, maybe. Just fully freaked out. There's a fucking huge spider.
Well, it looked like it was like a tarantula.
It was huge.
So I'll give you a little visual that my room had the light off in my bedroom, but the hallway light was shining in.
Yeah, so it was shadowy.
Just on the edge of like my bed. And as I was walking in, perched up on the side of like my bedspread, like kind of dangling off it, was a tarantula, like a huge spider. And my friends all saw it. We all saw it. We were all panicked.
I live like 10 minutes away. We were just dating. And she's like, you need to come over. I mean, it was like hysterics. And I was like, oh, Jesus. Okay. You know, I go over there and I walk into her apartment and I look and it's this huge. It's huge. I'm like, oh, shit. I mean, that thing's big. And I get closer to it and closer to it. And as I get really close, because it looked real, I notice that it's actually like a massive piece of yarn that is just stuck to the bed.
My knitting yarn.
Knitting yarn. And I was like, oh my God. And I didn't say anything. And I got closer and closer. And I make a sound and I grab it and put it in my mouth and start chewing it really hard. And you and Jackie, I think it was Jackie.
I think so.
You're fucking freaking out. Like, ah, yeah.
It was scary.
And then we made
because
love.
Because in my mind, I thought if that thing disappears into my bedroom, I am not ever going in the room again until it's found. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be in a dark corner hiding up in something. And it was like all over.
Well, you're scared of spiders going into your vagina.
Yeah, well, I think most women are. I mean, maybe I'm not right, but like.
But you don't sleep naked.
No way.
Right. You don't sleep naked because of that.
I mean, a bug going into your vagina. With you, like maybe on a like, you know, vacation somewhere and I'm like not thinking about it. But yes, the idea of that is just way too like. You know, I don't know if I saw a documentary somewhere like
about a spider going into a vagina.
No, but that like they go into your mouth in your lifetime or they bite you at night or they're, you know, it's just a thing. And I'm kind of like, I don't want a spider bite or one going inside of my vagina.
You said, why did you pause so long before saying
vagina?
I
was going to say something else and then I changed my mind.
What were you going to say?
I mean, there's two areas down there that it could go into.
Your butthole.
I just imagine, like, you scratch your arm and it's so you think it's a hair and then you look and it's a spider. I mean, Angie had one in her the back of her hair. One, I mean, you know, you have these crazy stories. I do not want to, like...
If you woke up and a spider crawled out of your vagina, would you pass out, you think?
Oh, 100%. You'd have to take me to the hospital. Like, what if it laid eggs in there and then baby spiders are going to come out later?
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole thing. It's not... Oh, no. My God. Sorry, but I can't... But I'm better now.
Yeah,
I'm better
are.
Now. I think, I, you know.
I'm hungry.
Okay. Well, this was like all over the place, but I hope it was good. I think next time we have more of a like focused, like let's have a section on what we want to talk about with kids and parenting.
I think that when we get, because I do want to do a podcast with you, like our own.
Generally.
I think it'll be fun. But I think at that point we can structure a little bit more. But I like the free flow vibe.
I know you do. And then that's where we have to meet in the middle because I like structured and a little more organized. Well, and then you, I know where I'm
for those of you listening,
going and talking.
We need you to email at sibling, I think siblingsubmissions@gmail.com. I think that's it. And I want to know whether you like the structured or the unstructured.
Or meeting in the middle, because that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, we could structure it, and then it will take left and right turns.
Totally.
Meaning, like, this episode is going to be about parenting and sort of sex and your and kids and dealing with all
right,
that.
Right, right.
And then halfway
discipline
through, all of a sudden,
or...
you know, we're talking about spiders in your butthole.
Right. Great. Remember that place in Italy that we stayed that I thought was like covered in spiders?
Mm-hmm.
That like old weird castle.
Yeah.
That was bad. Well, it goes back to like my childhood. Anybody that knows me from like Girl Scouts, like sleeping in a tent. I mean, I don't know. I was just a scaredy cat across the board and I don't want my kids to be like total scaredy cat pussies. So I'm trying.
They won't be.
We gotta like, well, that's because of you.
I'm scared.
Of spiders?
No.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared of a lot of things.
Yeah, but I'm so scared that it makes you brave.
I have no choice.
Exactly. Exactly. Also,
I'm like, not scared of bugs, and I'm not scared of animals. I'm not scared of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mountain lions for me and bears. Living in Colorado, that was a big.
Yeah,
one
I'm not
for me.
Scared.
It took
of that.
Over spiders.
I'm not scared of that stuff.
Like mountain lions for me, that's a big one.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah, it doesn't bother me.
The bears, now that we're camping.
No,
we live
it doesn't
out
bother
there.
Me. I'm scared, probably just scared of screwing up my kids. I don't know, scared of them not loving me anymore. my fear is more emotional.
Right.
Scared of you not wanting to make love to me anymore.
Aw, what? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're like hot, handsome dad.
Yeah, but you might be over it a little.
Mm-mm.
Maybe.
Mm-mm.
We can talk about that on another show.
Well, I think, yeah, exactly. Your insecurities. Okay, I'll save it because I was going to go into a whole other tangent, so we'll save it.
Yeah, save it. Save
okay.
It.
Saving.
Yeah, because we need to do another hour next week.
Okay, great.
All right, I'm
okay.
Hungry. I love you.
I love you.
All right, poop.
I'm still attracted to you.
Prove it.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you want to show us some love, rate the show and leave us a review. This show is powered by Simplecast.
Are the old world picturesque shores of Europe calling you? Set sail on an adventure with Avalon Waterways. Enjoy an elevated cruising experience. Avalon Waterways offers smaller ships, bigger experiences with fewer people and more of, well, everything good about river cruising. Don't just dream about quaint towns and cobblestone villages. See them for yourself and make lasting memories. Discover limited time offers today at AvalonWaterways.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.